Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. We got depression, devastation, and disappointment among members of the hashtag crew as the Phillies bow out. We will certainly have plenty of time for that. But first things first, we're about to win two teams the Super Bowl this year. Hit it.
Here we go! Go!
Only one place to start.
All right, the one place to start is going to be with Jeff Saturday and Marcus Spears, the big swagoo. Both guys good enough to hang out after we wrap up. Get up and talk a little football with us here. I so appreciate both you guys doing this. And the NFL trade deadline is next Tuesday. And the NFL trade deadline has not historically been like the one in baseball or the one in basketball. It's not usually that active. It's not usually that busy. And generally speaking, that is because it's very hard to plug a player in on another team in the middle of the year and have them make a huge difference. But we got two trades that we came up with today on Get Up that I think would go a long way towards that. Marcus, I'll give you the first one with your beloved Cowboys.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys should be on the phone with Rand Carthon, the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, trying to acquire Derrick Henry. He's making $10 million this year, and I think that $10 million will be well spent. Yep. If at some point you get into the playoffs and you need to have that element. Here's the thing too, G and Jeff. Like, when you think about Dallas right now, if I was to tell you, stack Dallas's roster skill player-wise up against Philadelphia and San Francisco, they're not close.
No.
They're not close.
Yep.
Depth-wise, they're not close. Explosive-wise, they're not close. So you got to make a decision. Can we get Tony Pollard back to being the guy where he gets 20 touches a game in favorable situations, where we can get those three or four explosive plays from him, where he gets in the end zone or he takes one for 70.
Yeah.
And then do we need to bring in the hammer?
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
A guy that when we get to the red area, teams have to change the way they think about defending us as far as scoring a touchdown. Derrick Henry changes the picture for Dallas and who they play. And I think that's why they should be on the phone. Listen, and a lot of times we get enamored with just the individual skill set of a player. But, Jeff, you know this. When we're talking in the context of football, you got to think about how does this change my whole team?
For sure.
Right? How does this change my defense not being on the field for a large majority of the game? How does this change Tony Pollard carries going from 6 yards per carry to when he gets to the fourth quarter, it's 3 yards per carry? Shout out to him both for that stat. And then, two, when you acquire Derrick Henry, this is what other teams are going to do. Okay, guys, we got to go back into the drawing board because now we got to defend the Dallas Cowboys differently. Yep. And what that different means is CeeDee Lamb is going to have more space. Brandon Cooks is going to have more space. You might see tight ends start to emerge a little bit more. You might see Dak Prescott play from a level of comfort because of the threat of the run and the play action where the field is wide open for him to make plays. So it's not just about what we've seen Derrick Henry do throughout his career. We know he's a great running back trending towards the Hall of Fame. It's what Derrick Henry presents will do for the Dallas Cowboys and how they go forward.
There's another piece of that that I think is interesting, and I was thinking about it as Marcus was talking, Jeff. The thing about the Eagles and the Niners and even the Lions in the NFC is I think they know who they are.
Facts.
I'm not sure the Cowboys do. Half the time I think the Cowboys want to be like a ground-and-pound physical team.
Yeah, they do.
And that's what they think they want to be, but they aren't.
They don't have the personnel.
They don't have the people to do it.
Personnel.
And then I think all of us look at them and say, well, they need to open up that offense, and I don't think they want to. So that's another reason why this makes so much sense to me.
I will say one of my favorite sayings in sports is fatigue makes cowards of us all, right? And what you see in the way that the carries for Pollard diminish at the end of games and then flip it over when you see Derrick Henry and how his carries and the increase of yardage as the game, it shows you that fatigue on the defense matters. He has laid hammers on you all four quarters, and that fourth quarter, man, nobody wants to tackle him anymore. It's like, hey, you know what? Business decision. I'm out, right? I mean, you make those kind of thoughts, and at the end of the day, it makes everybody around you better. Yep. And it's because of the style that he plays. You put him in the red zone, he improves your offense. He closes games out, whether they're stacked in the box. And guess what? Now Pollard can go against run against nickel defense, right? Because when they bring him in, they bring a different package and personnel in. Right now, you can't do that because he's your feature back. And so as you look at this, man, Derrick Henry's been running against nine-man boxes half his freaking career. Oh, he ain't scared of boxes being packed. He ain't scared of good defensive lines in Philly. He's not scared about San Francisco's deal. Like, this dude understands he has run against entire defenses being from tight end to tight end and has no fear of it. It is a different level and a different mentality from a player. And again, the fit for the Cowboys, this is what McCarthy wants to do. This will make CeeDee Lamb a true one,
yes, sir,
because now you no longer can do what Cooks will emerge, right? And then Dak Prescott, man, like, there is something about understanding your offensive line has worn out this defensive line. I can stand in that pocket that split second longer. I can push the ball down. All of those things come off of that style. I'm with you. I think that would be if I'm Stephen Jones, Rand's phone is blowing up.
And you brought me to the point, Jeff. It's time for Jerry and Stephen to stop bull crapping, right? Because I hear Jerry say this. I feel good about this roster. They're not.
They're not.
You're not good enough.
I said personnel wise. San Fran.
They to ain't win a Super Bowl. San Fran. You're good enough.
Yep.
This would definitely move you into that conversation of saying, if this thing can take hold and become what we need it to be,
that's right,
we definitely can go toe-to-toe with Philly and we can go toe-to-toe with San Francisco. I don't know what it's going to take, but I know this. I've seen Howie Roseman go to Super Bowls and make major moves after that.
AJ Brown. Kevin Byard
Byard. You make a draft move and go get Jalen Carter because you want to re-solidify your defensive line. I hope that they are in Dallas because of the Kevin Byard trade. I hope they sign Julio Jones, by the way.
Right,
we don't know what he's going to be, but Howie Roseman, like, I'm turning every stone get it. Dallas has been sitting pat. Think about this, y'all.
It's a great point.
They have been sitting pat for the last 3 to 4 years saying, I feel good about this roster. I feel good. I feel good about this team and what we can do. The reality is you don't have the roster to beat Philly and San Francisco right now. You don't have it.
Yeah.
You got one guy on defense that both of those teams to take probably over anybody outside of Nick Bosa because San Francisco is their guy. You got Micah Parsons is the one guy on that team where you walk into any stadium and say, we got the best guy on the field when he's on the field. Outside of that, tell me who for Dallas that you think that is other than Zach Martin.
Yeah.
Tell me. Go through the roster of the Dallas Cowboys compared to Philly, compared to San Francisco. What guys would you take on their team over the guys that they have?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why you're the third. That's why you're the third or fourth best team.
And
that's where you'll be slotted.
Yep. We could argue about whether CeeDee Lamb belongs in that, but that's the point remains.
He don't.
They're not good enough at what they look like they should be good at doing. This is a move that makes all the sense in the world. Greeny and Company, live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Perfect to have Marcus and Jeff Saturday here. The other one we talked about this morning, right here in New York, Saquon Barkley. Now, every indication that we have gotten is that they're not trading Saquon, and he has said on the record he doesn't want to go. That said, it isn't up to him, and we brought up the Baltimore Ravens. Marcus, I want you to envision, as a defender, you played on the defensive line a long time. You're staring across the line of scrimmage at Lamar Jackson under center or in the shotgun with Saquon Barkley standing next to him and Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews and OBJ. What would Saquon on the Ravens be?
He would make them unguardable, and they almost that right now, G, without having a dynamic playmaker out of the backfield. Saquon Barkley also should want this. Because Saquon Barkley injuries are due to the fact that people know that you are the only hope for this football team to win a game. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, man.
Like, so you got two things working. Here's the thing, too. Like, Saquon not wanting to leave New York is the right thing to say. He need to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Brother, you are running back, number one. We've seen how that transpired.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you should be looking for destinations where you don't have to carry the ball 25, 30
exactly.
times a game. So, Jeff, like, I...
And that you go into a team that wants to run it 35 to 40 times
win.
And share it. Yeah, and share.
Win,
absolutely.
Bro.
Like, this is not, like, we out of this whole era of I'm going to just sit tight until. We just saw Dame Lillard do that in the NBA, right? It gets old.
Absolutely.
That you know we cannot win a Super Bowl, or you know I'm not in the best possible situation. Saquon Barkley should be going to that privately or publicly. Going to that franchise and that organization and saying, hey, man, we got to figure out a way for this thing to be broken in a nice way
sure.
where I can get out of here. We could part ways. Y'all could start over and do what y'all do,
yeah.
and I can go do what I do.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones is a $100 million quarterback.
Yeah.
And Saquon Barkley is the reason the New York Giants can play football.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
That's the reality.
There's no doubt.
That's how I feel about it, Jeff.
Yeah. As we look at the way offenses and the way players fit in an offense, if you think about the way Saquon Barkley runs the football, and I know I'm getting like deep into football, but his patience to the hole, to the line of scrimmage, and the pattern in which he carries himself to get to the hole, whichever one he's aimed for, and the way that Lamar Jackson runs the zone, it fits together.
Yeah.
And the problem for defenses is they have to believe both. So the end is compromised, the linebacker is compromised, because the two guys that have to key on both those players know, if I miss, this guy might take it to the house.
No.
So everybody's going to play cautious football because of the mesh between those two guys. And I'm telling you, when you think about a running back who can be explosive once they get to the hole and turn their speed on that fast, it changes things. Screen game, it changes things. So now you have this dynamic back and this piece in the backfield. If you want to run them out of the backfield, all of a sudden you got a matchup that you – so all the matchups you think about in football, and that's what the game is truly about,
yep.
you have a A-plus guy against whatever you want. Lamar Jackson would love this trade, right? Because that exact point of him being able to read that opens up the throwing lanes behind it. Linebacker have to stay in. I love the fit. I love the mentality of the Ravens, too. Because to your point, you can be one of three backs in Baltimore and still get 15 carries a game. That's huge.
Yep.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, for him,
and
catch five passes,
that's
a great day.
It's Christian McCaffrey to the 49ers.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And remember when Saquon was rolling his rookie year, we were talking about, is this guy the best running back in football?
Right.
Right? And it was because of the injuries. Didn't he go over 2,000 all-purpose his rookie year or something like that? Or he was super close
to doing that.
But the thing is, G, like these guys too, like we have another overall arching conversation
yep.
when it comes to running back. Longevity is your best friend.
Ain't no doubt.
Right? Like you don't want to be in a place where you're going to have to be the catalyst for your offense to have success.
Right.
You don't want to do it. Christian McCaffrey, coincidentally, has suffered he's took some dinks and dunks.
Yeah.
But he got out of Carolina. He's playing in all the games
yeah.
in San Francisco. I don't know why Saquon Barkley would be loyal to the New York Giants. I have no idea why. Outside of them drafting him, this yeah. franchise, and the owner even said it when it came to Daniel Jones, we've done everything in our power to make this kid fail.
Yeah.
Think about it. Dave Gettleman was there.
Yeah.
You had the coach. I can't even remember his name because he was so bad.
Joe Judge.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley has been in the midst of mess.
Chaos.
Since he's been in New York.
Chaos.
You go to Baltimore, which is a franchise. I was there for a cup of coffee, Jeff. A franchise that is really stable.
Absolutely.
Harbaugh is going to be there. They love playing in Owings Mills, Maryland.
Yep.
They love representing the Baltimore Ravens. And more importantly, your quarterback is elite now.
Yep.
Like, this is the first time
yeah.
Saquon is going to play with a guy that in this iteration of the NFL
yeah.
that is going to take away pressure
yes.
from him having to be the guy. He should be going crazy trying to get out of there and go to Baltimore.
Agreed.
By the way, his rookie year, you just had me look it up. So he played all 16 games. He had 1,307 rushing yards with 11 touchdowns. He caught 91 passes
Jeez.
For another 721 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Brother, I'm yeah. telling you, man.
Beast.
And that special. Offense that he was in, ain't even close to being as good as the one he would go to in Baltimore.
Not even close. Uh-uh. Gentlemen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this, guys. You're the best. Thank you. Swagoo Saturday with us. Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Coming up, Hembo and Cam are devastated. We will clean up the mess next on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
We have sadness. We have desolation. We have devastation in our studio today. Hembo, Cam, and the rest of the Philadelphia Phillies fans had to watch their team last night play the first Game 7 in the history of their franchise. And the result was a resounding defeat. Off they go into an off-season of endless questions. And we will ask and answer some of them. And we will mercilessly pound these two men who richly deserve it. The assembled members of the hashtag crew have assembled around us. Hembo is here with me in New York. Cam is there with Bubba in Bristol. Let us start unpacking the devastation. Hembo, the floor is yours.
I'm a broken man. I am numb. I have a feeling in my body like I had surgery yesterday, and the medication is beginning to wear off. Mm. This is how I feel. Because as a Philly fan recently, you've had your share of these kinds of losses. Obviously, last year, the Phillies led the World Series 2-1. I declared the series over. They lost the series.
Yeah. That didn't go well.
No. The Eagles were leading the Kansas City Chiefs at halftime of the Super Bowl, and they lost that game. Mm. Devastatingly.
That was tough. Tough to take.
The Sixers, with an opportunity to beat their longtime rival, the Boston Celtics, and go to the conference finals for the first time in a generation.
That would have been nice.
They choke it away.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
My feelings in those areas were feelings of anger. My feeling today is numbness. Because at no point until yesterday when that game was almost over, after the Bryce Harper flyout in the seventh inning, did I even consider the possibility that the Phillies might not win the series?
Do you think that your overconfidence, with which you were brimming for what feels like a very long time now, like even before the end of the Braves series, do you feel that your overconfidence contributed, A, to their actual defeat, B, to the way you feel now, because you did not allow yourself to consider the possibility they would lose?
Yes to both. because we live in close proximity to the baseball gods.
Yeah.
And not only did Cam elect to go to Chicago Sam's instead of Arizona.
Yes, he did.
To see the Phillies play in the NLCS.
That's true.
But I was comparing Bryce Harper to Reggie Jackson.
Yes, you did.
And saying that the Phillies had the greatest home field advantage in the history of sports. And they lost game 6 and 7 in front of those same fans to a team that was outscored during the regular season.
That's correct.
It's very difficult for me to sit here and not take culpability for the Phillies losing. And it absolutely impacts the way that I feel today, because as a fan, it's all about expectation. Last year was this sort of magic carpet ride, and losing in the World Series, while devastating, while disappointing, didn't provide me this feeling of numbness. But as I was watching the highlights again this morning, that was the feeling. I feel like I'm not in control of my faculties. Because that surgery that I had yesterday, that medication is starting to wear off.
Yeah, I just very quickly looked up Reggie Jackson's numbers. And it has been made clear very much by me that you underrate Reggie Jackson's place historically. And I will continue to say that. Reggie Jackson, for his career, 11 years, 17 postseason series. What numbers are you looking for here? What would you like me to share with you?
I mean, he had the all-time home run record by a lefty until Kyle Schwarber broke it this year. It's a record that stood forever.
Yeah, I'm having the way that Baseball Reference does this, it's very hard for me to go from the top to the bottom easily. The point of the matter is he was brilliant in the postseason all the time, always the best player in the playoffs, always seemed to come up in the biggest moments, like, I don't know, 2 on and 2 out in the 7th inning of a 2-run game at home, and find a way to jack one into the short right field porch at Yankee Stadium rather than flying harmlessly to center field in that moment.
Yeah, Bryce went 0-for-7 in the final two games of this series, and had he gone 1-for-7, they still might be alive today. This is the moment for me, Greeny. Like, that was the moment. The Phillies are down 2 in the bottom of the 7th inning with 2 men on, Bryce Harper up in a 2-1 count. Kevin Ginkle's pitching for the Arizona Diamondbacks and arrogantly grooves a fastball to the player that I've been touting as this generation's Reggie Jackson. That's supposed to be the pitch that he hits out. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be the pitch that we add to his Hall of Fame reel. That's the right man in the right moment. We saw it last year against the San Diego Padres. He got that pitch. He hit it out. It sent the Phillies to the World Series. This year, he flew out, and we're talking about a 1/10 of an inch difference on the bat. That's baseball, and that was the moment I knew.
So that's Hembo's reaction on this day. Cam, let us come to you, because you have a lot you bear a lot of responsibility for this. I will remind the audience, for those of you who were not with us last week or anything like that, that in an effort for us to, let's face it, we were making fun of, we were mocking the Diamondbacks and their fans, led primarily by Hembo, that we said that because it was cheaper, because the get-in price, a standing room ticket in Philadelphia was $300-something, and you could get into the ballpark in Arizona for $13, that I offered to send Cam to Arizona, pay for the flight, pay for the hotel, pay for the ticket, and that it would still be cheaper than me sending him to a Phillies game and just buying the worst seat in the house. In fact, it wasn't even a seat. It was standing room only, to buy him the right to walk into the ballpark and then be completely on his own. And he chose not to go because he had an engagement to go to a birthday party for a person who we are convinced doesn't even exist at a place called Chicago Sam's in Cromwell, Connecticut. And I, from that moment forward, at that moment, the Phillies were up 2-1. From that point forward, they lost 4 out of 5 to the Diamondbacks, including 2 of them in Philadelphia. Cam, what do you have to say for yourself?
You mentioned they lost 4 out of 5 games.
Yeah.
The one game that they won was when I was at Chicago Sam's. I should have been at Chicago Sam's for every single one of these games.
Well, don't you think that that is a lesson that you should have taken from it? Like, why would you not, after they won that game, why would you not have been at Chicago Sam's last night and the night before to watch games 6 and 7?
I think it was an oversight on my part. I thought by the time, you know, we had proclaimed this curse of the Cambino, it was broken the moment that the game that I would have went to, they won instead. I thought it was broken, and that was arrogance on my part, and I deserve the blame for that.
So we will get to the bottom of all of this. and we have to continue to hand this out. But I want to turn this into a bigger picture topic. The World Series, by the way, the road to the World Series, now actually the World Series itself, will be on ESPN Radio. You can catch every pitch on ESPN Radio on the ESPN app. It begins Friday night, the Diamondbacks and Rangers, in one of the most surprising, or not sure what the word is, in the upstart.
Very much so.
World Series in the 100-and-something year history of the World Series. And I brought this up briefly. I was on with the guys and the group on Unsportsmanlike this morning with Michelle and Canty and Evan. And we were talking about particularly the Diamondbacks making it. But on some level, it applies to both teams. Because there was no moment during this regular season in baseball where you thought, oh, the Diamondbacks are one of the handful of best teams in the sport. I want to preface these remarks I'm about to make by saying, in no way am I diminishing what the Diamondbacks have accomplished. When you earn your way into the postseason, you have the same opportunity that everyone else does, and they got red hot at exactly the right time, and they 100% earned what they have. They 100% deserve a chance to win the championship. Let me make that as clear as it can be made before I go any farther. When the postseason began in baseball, we talked about the format. Baseball was the sport, was really the last one to start disregarding its regular season. Maybe one could argue college football has remained there next year it ends. College football has always been a sport where only the very, very, very best of the best had a chance to be the champions. Basketball, you get in the dance. You got to earn it. Four best of seven series, that's a gauntlet. But you've got your chance. Hockey, you got to earn it, but you get your chance. 16 teams make it. Basketball, hockey, football, they keep adding to it seemingly every year. Suddenly we have 14 teams making the playoffs. That is almost 50% of the teams get into the dance and have essentially the same chance as everyone else to win the championship. Baseball historically has never been that. Baseball has always been the sport where you had to prove over the course of the marathon that you were worthy of a shot at the sprint. It has now become at least as much, if not more, about the sprint than the marathon. And what you have to accept, if you're going to do that, and when people start writing all the stories about, oh, the ratings are going to be down and all that kind of stuff, what you are accepting is that you're going to have every now and again the Arizona Diamondbacks, who were outscored over the course of a 162-game season. They played 162 games, and they gave up more runs than they scored. It's only the second time a team like that has ever made the World Series. The 87 Twins were the other. You're going to get that team into the World Series. And my question is that okay with us or not? So, Hembo, the only thing you love more than the Phillies, I will say this, and I'm being serious now, is the game itself. You love baseball as much as I've ever known anyone to love any sport. So I will ask, if you can, remove the Phillies hat from this conversation and answer that.
Yeah, I mean, the answer to that question, honestly, is no. Like, with all the credit in the world going to the Diamondbacks, because this is the system in which we play, and they maximize their chances, and they're going to the World Series, and they deserve to be commended for it. But the New York Mets this year, they won 75 games, had a better run differential than the Diamondbacks did. I mean, the Diamondbacks, over the course of a 162-game season, were a bad baseball team. And so all you have to do in baseball to get to the World Series, given the new format that we have, is win 9 out of 15 games. Greeny, guess how many of the 30 baseball teams this year had at least one stretch in which they won 9 out of 15 games?
I'm going to guess all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Literally all of them.
Yeah.
That's baseball.
Right.
Because baseball is baseball, and because we have a format like this, perhaps there will be a year, and perhaps it could be next year, where the two best teams from each league go to the World Series and this won't be a thing. But what we have done is now opened ourselves up to the possibility of a team that's outscored going to the World Series. And the only real deterrent or the only real difference between a team like Arizona and a team that wins 20 more games than they do is maybe you get a first round bye depending on your record, and you get some home games, which, as we know in baseball, doesn't make that much of a difference. Now, I can't sit here and talk out of both sides of my mouth, because when Atlanta and the Dodgers were eliminated, I sit here and said, let's not blame the system. Let's not trash baseball. But the World Series is a bit of a different animal. And I would imagine that the vast majority of people don't view the Arizona Diamondbacks as a deserving World Series participant, despite the fact that so far they've won three rounds in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they're deserving because this is the system that we have. The question is, do you want that team to be a champion? I made a lot of people very mad at me, including Jim Boeheim and my friend Mike Tirico, many years ago when Syracuse, and you can remind me what year it was, Syracuse made the Final Four on in a year that I want to say where they were like a 10 or 11 seed. And this was probably like 2016. What was their record that year, Cam? You seem to have it in front of you. What was their record that year?
I'll look it up.
They had 14 losses.
They had 14
13,
losses.
13 entering the tournament.
13 entering the tournament. So they were what entering the tournament? Like 18 and 13 or something like that?
It would have been
less. 16 and 13?
Something like that.
I mean, so mm-hmm. my point is, and they barely got in. They were one of those teams that on Selection Sunday, everyone was saying, oh, they didn't deserve it. They got it instead of this guy. Dick Vitale was saying the mid-major got screwed because of Syracuse. I like Syracuse. I like Jim Boeheim. I love Mike Tirico. I said on the air, if Syracuse wins the championship, and I meant this, it invalidates the entire thing. Because you cannot have it. What you're doing, how can you say they're the champions? You can say they won this tournament, but you can't say they're the national champions of the season. There were like 50 teams that were better than them over the course of the year. And that's what this is. They just, if the, let's live in a world where the Diamondbacks win, though they win four more games. They basically just won a tournament. They won this postseason tournament. God bless them. That is wonderful. And that's how we determine the champion of the sport. It will say until the end of time, the 2023 champions of baseball were the Arizona Diamondbacks. Again, if you are a fan of that team and you feel like we're singling you out, I apologize. This is not in any way meant to be aimed at them. It is just the circumstances. I would say this if it was the Cubs, the Yankees, or anybody else. You have to ask yourself the question, are we okay? Realistically speaking, what number best team in baseball were they this year? 11, 12, something like that?
At best.
At best. The 12th best team?
They had fewer runs than their opponent.
I get it. But that's not the only measure of how good
they
you
were. They went 84 and 78.
Okay. How many teams had better records than that in both leagues combined?
That was the 12th, tied for the 12th best record in baseball.
So, like, for the first 115 years of the game's history, that team didn't get a chance to play for the championship. Now it has, and yes, they give a disadvantage to the bottom teams. They don't get it. But we've already said that we think maybe that's an advantage not playing that week, whatever. We give them, for all intents and purposes, the same chance to win the championship that we give to the Atlanta Braves, who won 100 and whatever it is they won. So I'm asking you as a fan, is that okay? That's the question I'm asking. There's something about it down deep inside of me that I don't like. It makes me itch in a place that I can't reach to scratch. But I have to accept that this is the way we do it now. And it does not invalidate their championship. If they win, they are thoroughly deserving and there should be no questions asked otherwise.
Oh, for sure. Right. This does not invalidate anything. This is the system. They're winning and they deserve all the credit in the world. But I think there is something sacred about this stuff if you're a fan of baseball, if you're a fan of sports. There's something sacred about who gets, I mean, the World Series, they've been playing since 1903. Like, this is such a huge deal. Like, these are things that we love and we study and it has such an incredibly rich tradition. Like, what we have to ask ourselves is the trade-off worth it? Does the fact that we've supercharged the regular season by expanding the playoffs, by pushing the trade deadline back a little bit, by giving two dozen teams an actual chance at it, is the trade-off worth it when you have the possibility of one of those teams that sneaks in getting to the World Series? I'd like to think that we can create a system where we can find sort of a happy medium, one that maximizes the regular season, so that those games in August and September are meaningful, while at the same time rewarding the teams that won 104 and 101 and 100 games, like the Braves and the Orioles and the Dodgers did this season, without basically leveling the playoff field once you get there.
So let me then ask you a different question, because I'm sure a lot of people listening to us right now in their cars or wherever you are listening to us, God bless you, are saying the same thing, or are saying this thing. When in 2007, the New York Giants, who went 10-6, beat the 16-0 New England Patriots. I just went back and looked up that season. Let's just deal with the NFC. The Giants went 10-6. That same year in that conference, the Cowboys were 13-3. The Packers were 13-3. In the AFC, the Chargers won more games. The Colts won more games. The Jaguars won more games. The Steelers won as many games. And I'll repeat, the Patriots won 16 regular season games. When the Giants won the Super Bowl, did people complain in the same way we're complaining now?
Most definitely not. But it's much easier to win 9 out of 15 baseball games than it is to win 4 straight football games. And that is backed up by all the data that you would need.
Okay, I just got a text. I would like you right now, Bubba, I'm going to send you the number if you don't already have it. We're going to call our buddy Booger McFarland. Booger just sent me a text that said, you and Hembo are so wrong.
Hmm.
He's listening. He's angry. And he's got a, I think he's going to speak for a lot of people when he says what he's going to say coming up next. So he will join us and get a chance to do that right after this. You're listening to Greeny on ESPN Radio. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, where you always get a chance to be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. We have given some fairly strong opinions on the upcoming World Series involving the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. And I'm told we have a caller from Tampa. His name is Booger, and he's on ESPN Radio. Booger, thank you for calling in. We always appreciate the time. What is your reaction to what you have heard Hembo and I have to say here?
Well, good morning, Michael Greenberg and Paul Hembokidis. I'm driving down the road, and it's been a tremendous morning. It's 82 degrees. The sun is out. I've already finished a round of golf, and I hear you two spewing the blasphemy that you guys are spewing. Number one, and by the way, I have several points. I'll start with number one.
Mm-hmm.
You guys talk about the season and, you know, whatever team and whatever sport finishes number one. And a team like the Diamondbacks, a team like the New York Giants, a team like the Buccaneers of Tom Brady, who kind of sneak into the postseason and win the title or play for the title, kind of invalidates the season. That's so wrong. The regular season is meant to is meant as a qualifying process for the postseason. Every team sport has it, and some individual sports have it. We're going to crown our champion in the postseason, so therefore we must come up with a criteria in the regular season, whatever that criteria is, to qualify a certain number of teams for said postseason. And so once that qualifying is met and we get to the postseason, whoever wins that postseason is by far the champion. It doesn't matter if you were outscored by the other teams by more runs. It doesn't matter if the team you beat had more wins than you did. There is a qualifying process by all teams, and you met your qualification. Point number two, Kimball, you said it's easier to win four football games than it is, excuse me, it's harder to win four football games than it is to win 9 out of 15 baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that the hardest thing in sports to do is hit a round ball with a round bat. So I would disagree with that. So let's not poo-poo on the Diamondbacks, guys. They beat the Phillies, and I get it. A lot of people around the country wanted to see Phillies Astros. I wanted to see Phillies Astros, but we got Rangers Diamondbacks. So I think we can't sit here today and talk about the process when it's the same way in hockey, basketball, golf now has a qualifying process, football and baseball.
So that's fair. Booger, obviously, and I think you are speaking for a lot of people, and I appreciate it, and you know we love you. So let me make my side of the argument. Baseball, first of all, is a little different because historically it has been the opposite. Now, that's not to say, I mean, the worst reason to do anything is because we've been doing it that way forever. But historically, as you know, it has always been the hardest one to qualify for. You had to be genuinely exceptional to get a chance to come through that qualifying process, as you correctly described the regular season to be. Secondly, as you know, baseball, by the virtue of baseball season being so long, the potential for randomness, as Hembo said, literally every team in baseball at one point this season won 9 games in a 15-game stretch. So it isn't the same thing as it would be to win a best-of-seven series in basketball. I think you genuinely prove you are the better team. I don't know that it's the same in baseball, and that is my concern.
Well, in baseball, Green, your team had one stretch where they won 9 out of 15, but how many times did they do it?
Right.
Because I think the better teams probably did it more times than not.
Right.
And so you're right. It's easier maybe to do it one time over the course of 162 because of the volume and the quantity of games. However, I will argue that the better teams always win more. The cream always rises to the top. And I don't want to get into run differential and all that. I just know the Diamondbacks, their record was, 84-78, I think I heard
people
say.
Yeah.
And if that's the record in the qualifying process that got them in the postseason, they've just won every series they've been in. And right now they're going to take on Texas. And if they win 4 games, they're going to clearly be the champion regardless of how many runs they score. Now, if we want to go back and change the qualifying process, okay, that's fine. And say whoever wins or whoever scores the most runs are the champion. But I don't think we want to do that because that's not the sport.
All right, the most important question is, where do we play this morning and how do we do?
We played a nice little P-Dot course town. Didn't quite hit it as good off the tee as I wanted to. But as you know, Greeny, I can putt it phenomenally.
Yes, we have the Booger McFarland Memorial spot on the 15th green at Bayonne Golf Club. Booger, you're the best, my friend. Thank you for calling in. We'll see you soon.
Have a good one. Y'all, later.
Booger, no one loves the golf more than he does. Yeah.
I want to make something exceedingly clear.
Yeah.
Not to speak for you, but to speak at least for me and maybe for us, by no means am I diminishing, and by no means am I discrediting what the Diamondbacks have accomplished.
Right.
That's not the point. The Diamondbacks deserved to win. The Diamondbacks did what I thought was going to be the impossible. They went to Philadelphia and won consecutive games in that building against that team. They deserve to be in the World Series based on the system that we have, and more power to them. And if I'm a fan of that team, I'm waking up thrilled this morning, and the fact that I have to listen to this conversation on the radio, I would feel the same way that Booger McFarland does and would voice that same complaint, whether it be on my Twitter feed or anywhere else. The point is not that what they did was not legitimate. The point is, do we have the best system? This provides us a peg, an opportunity to ask aloud that question.
No.
What matters to us more?
Well, here's the thing. We did it right. We asked the question before it happened. We were talking about this on the show the day the regular season ended. We were saying, are we prepared to deal with that? Not expecting this to happen,
sure.
But it did. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. We're not just jumping in for those of you who are saying, oh, listen to them jumping in now. We had this conversation 3 weeks ago on this show. It is a concern. Parenthetically, can I tell you my favorite Booger McFarland golf story?
Mm.
Well, it's a tie. There are two favorites. My first favorite is that he was filling in for Mike one day. He was hosting Mike and Mike with me. Booger loves – the best thing – Booger knows more about other sports than almost any of our other analysts. He knows baseball. He knows basketball. He knows golf. He's extraordinarily good on all the sports. And he actually said on the air, and he meant it, that he believed he could beat Gary Player head up, no strokes at that moment in time. Gary was probably right around 80, maybe 78 at that time. And Gary Player called in, and it was one of the great conversations I've ever been a part of, in which Gary Player said that, A, he would beat him if he had to walk the fairways on his hands. That if he could, if he wasn't allowed to use his feet, but had to actually walk the entire 18 holes on his hands, he would still beat him. And then he said, and I'll never forget, you know, Booga, that's how he said Booger, Booga, I've seen your swing. It looks like a cow giving birth to a roll of barbed wire, which was a great line. The other line, and I always point out that anyone who's ever been to Bayonne Golf Club knows exactly what I'm talking about. The 15th green is elevated, very, very elevated. And if the pin is placed in front, there's a false front. You have to make sure you are well past it. Booger was well past it. He was putting down towards this. The second he putted the ball, both Gus, the caddy, and I said, oh, no. And Booger said, what? And the next thing I knew, the ball had rolled 80 yards off the green. It rolled down the hill and would not stop. And you've never seen a person angry until a 300-pound man has to walk 80 yards down a hill that he didn't expect. That's my favorite story. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.